the authenticity of believing that if things are as they should be, another human being who has run into me will be comforted to know that I am Christian. More likely nowadays, with all the bad press we get, and some deservedly, more likely people will panic if they find out you're a Christian. They have heard so much or seen so much of hypocrisy and judgmentalism that they really don't want anything to do with us. My friend lived out a Christianity that was very real and very difficult. Christianity is not a fluffy or easy way of life. It requires surrendering self-righteousness, surrendering the need to win, the need to be right. If we try to follow Jesus, we cannot exalt our rightness and still find and bear the Holy Spirit of God. Our reading from Jeremiah today includes a broad accusation of many of the people of Israel. They have been the protected people of God, and yet they have not used that knowledge to make the world better and to bring about the kingdom for other people. They knew they were already saved, and yet they squandered their security and failed to help other people. They didn't want to do the difficult things to some degree. The prophet writes, "Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, they plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully." In this context, dreams can be equated with misrepresentations of what God wants. The dreams that these people had were taking their spirituality lightly, superficially, without regard to or interest in being challenged. Now, the people that are being criticized in this reading are the ones who exalted the law over the love of God and neighbor. Now, Christianity, like the spirituality of that time, is not supposed to be a badge we wear. It's not the merit badge for conspicuous piety. It is not supposed to be an easy to-do list. It is a difficult and usually unpopular stance of forgiveness, of openness toward others, even when they hurt us, even when the damage is clearly their fault. These false prophets that are mentioned in today's passage contented themselves with believing, and they told others that loving God involved obedience to rules, to law. Their dreams of cheap grace obscured the mandate to care for one another. The most superficial of those people in that time were basically saying, "Follow the rules and you will be with God." It was a dream, an illusion. It was not a true prophecy. True prophecy, more often than not, makes us uncomfortable, not complacent and self-satisfied. Many of the religious elite in that time in Israel thought that strict adherence to the law saved them. They focused so much on their obedience to the law that they failed to take care of other human beings. It is a very common and very powerful theme of these Old Testament prophets, the neglect of people in need. This theme is very big in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, Amos, Micah. People were too often convincing themselves that they bring in God's reign by individually obeying the law. But they were already saved by the grace of God. There needed to be a turn for those who were conspicuously pious. There needed to be a turn toward taking care of other people. The Ten Commandments were a beginning of the turn in that direction. Those Ten Commandments talked about how we care for one another, how we honor one another and honor God. Instead, many of the people of that time wanted to keep the law, which involved not 10, but 613 tenets of the way to live life. These tenets were called mitzvot in the Jewish law. But the Ten Commandments and what the prophets were bringing to us, these places tell us that we honor God by loving the person beside us. That traditional Jewish view of adherence to the law said that order comes to the universe when each of us obeys these laws. Many of the Psalms, you will see the writer saying something like this: "Save me, Lord, for I am upright and blameless in your sight." The writer is saying, "I've obeyed your laws, God, so save me." That's perfect Judaism of that time. But it is not perfect Jesus. We are, as we say in one of our Eucharistic prayers, we are now covered by the new covenant. The new covenant is care of honoring God by care for other people. We can't stand it sometimes. We want to earn something from God. But it has always been the love of God and the forgiveness of God that have drawn us near. When Jesus came, we began to learn more clearly and more obviously that order comes to the universe when we love one another. It is not a matter for judgment of others. It is a matter of helping other people heal. We don't say, "I am upright and blameless, God, so save me." Instead, we say, "You have saved me, God, so I can now have the security to love others without condition." Jesus asks us to stop judging ourselves as well as others. We've already been saved. We have the security and the peace of knowing that God has saved us. And in response to that knowledge, we are to stop judging and start healing. God asks us in this day to live out our Christianity to the extent that we forgive others who hurt us, even when we know full well that our injury is their fault. We don't say, "I'm a Christian, so I'm going to judge you." We say, "I am a Christian, so I am going to help you find healing." When we run into one another, and we will, we have to forgive. We have to accept forgiveness. And enough of us living that way will cause others to see the statement, "I am a Christian," as good news. It is the good news. in Christ. So don't worry. I'm a Christian.